This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, a little more on the vaccine topic. With plenty of texts coming in. You want to continue to respond to the points we raised last hour on vaccines, you can. 81807 or give a call, 651-989-9226. We've rescheduled Mr. DeRussia for 2:10, so he will be with us. Funny how people say you have to look at science when it comes to climate change, but then don't believe the science when it comes to vaccines. Both have plenty of evidence that the earth is warning the vaccines are safe. You can't pick and choose. If you believe science, you believe in science. That's 100% right, Lindsay. I'm not saying that we're scientists, right? But it is funny how people in all aspects of life will pick and choose when the outrage, when they're upset, when they find something credible. Be consistent. Be consistent in your values and what matters to you and what is the truth and when deferring and relying on experts. And it can't just forget. I mean, it can't just slip and be irrelevant if it doesn't fit right into what you want it to be or what you've decided it should be. A text here about even going back to when Phil Donahue was doing this, about what many people have said over the years. The point is, my child was fine, and then we went in for one of the vaccines, the MMRs, right, and something changed. I believe that those parents believe that, and I have compassion for them. I have a son on the autistic spectrum. But again, I defer to the data, and it's not just one study. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of studies all across the globe define this idea that it's tied to this. And by the way, one of the chief conspiracy theorists on this, the president of the United States. He hasn't brought it up much, if at all, since he has been president. But go through his tweets. Go back. As a candidate and as a citizen on buying into this nonsense, like he does in so many different conspiracies. So, if you're a Trump supporter, are you with the president in this one? Or if you're someone who totally disagrees with the president, but you're like-minded in this area about the vaccines and science isn't right, where do you stand on that one? What do you say about the conspiracy that the big pharma has paid off and lobbied everyone to promote vaccines? I think it's nonsense. That's what I think. I think there can be a conversation with people about why in 2019 or why in 2009 or why in 1999, as far back as you want to go, do we have this amount of vaccines compared to then? And if you want to have that conversation with smart, credible individuals, that's fair. But you can also say medicine isn't static. Medicine isn't absolute, where you've reached a point where you know everything. Because doctors and scientists and other people will look at this and have different ideas, and it doesn't just end. And for all of us, who wonder about that doesn't automatically make you foolish to ask questions. But then on this, who are you going to rely on key matters when you are trying to protect your children, but also you don't have the same expertise? More text here. There will always be people who don't agree, but we have to have laws to protect other children. And by the way, what is the SOAP apology? Lindsay, would you like to explain the SOAP apology? Somebody wants to know.
Yeah. The SOAP apology. The other day in my rant about how it's disgusting if you don't wash your hands, which I stand by, I said that the soap you use in the shower, like your bar soap, is different than your hand soap. And a man kindly sent me an article from the CDC telling me I was wrong, which I appreciate because I honestly thought they were different. I thought that saying a soap was antibacterial or antifungal, whatever it is, was different than your bar soap.
I was so disappointed in you.
So I retracted my statement. Yeah. Again, just to clarify, I stand by my statement that I think you're disgusting if you don't wash your hands.
So do I. Laura came out and said she hasn't washed her hands in 20 years, which was it took it even further than the Pete Hegseth. I mean, it caused a lot of people to talk.
You really don't need to.
It's overrated, I think you said.
Right.
Typical scare tactics. You should be ashamed. I'm not ashamed at all. I think the people who are lying about this, who put kids at harm, put their own kids at harm, put other kids at harm, and some awful things can happen to the quality of their life or the end of their lives. Those are the people who should be ashamed. Absolutely. Vaccines, especially for highly contagious diseases, is a public health issue. It's hard because I believe in our freedom here, but we don't just let individuals do certain things, including shooting guns, for example, certain places. I think... I think we should have this conversation, make everyone get some vaccines because it's fair on others who aren't fully up to their vaccines and how they are then exposed. More text here. The science has always changed. It's not consistent in vaccine. Here's what is consistent on the credible individuals who've been proven to be credible on this. And so many of them have nothing to do with each other, okay? It's not like they're all in this group and they're working to trick all of us, that they all consistently come out and say, this gives all of us a better chance to fight off these diseases. And funny, since these vaccines have come out, the numbers have changed enormously to the positive. And then we have cases like Washington last month, all of a sudden the measles outbreak affecting all sorts of kids. Guess what happens? There's a sharp increase in people going and getting vaccinated. So if you're willing to do it then, why not do it ahead to protect more people? Here's our contest for today with Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries, and you will be eligible by a phone call at 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Tell us the best thing about your partner. What is so unique about your significant other and thus why he or she deserves the $50 gift certificate from Pro Flowers or Sherry's Berries? We've had the awful stories. We've had songs. We've had screw-ups. Today, let's bring some positivity, okay? What's the best thing about your significant other and why he or she deserves this gift certificate? It's not through texts. It's only through phone calls. Call right now, 651-989-9226. Here is Laura Oakes. Since last Friday, we have been fortunate enough to continue work with Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries and give you a chance to win a $50 gift card from each one with various stories. Today, listen, Lindsay, when people think of our show, Adam's here included, optimistic. Glass isn't half full, it's always full, right? Hello? So today, it's all about the best thing about your significant other. maybe all the time, maybe a certain story, and thus why you should get the $50 gift card from either Pro Flowers or Sherry's Berries, and you can get that right to them, however you want to. Okay, so let's take calls. Phone lines are full right now. If somebody drops off, give us a call, 651-989-9226. Mickey is in Minnetonka. Go ahead, Mickey.
I think that my husband is amazing. He is my best friend. But the main thing, the main reason I would love to give him this gift card is because the last time I got him a Valentine's present was 18 years ago because he bought himself his own card when I was trapped on bed rest and couldn't get him a Valentine card. And he bought one for himself, and he's gotten the same card from me every single year. I keep stealing it back and hiding it and then giving it to him again. So I figure maybe this time it's a good change-up.
I think that's a very good story. All right, Mickey, we'll put you on hold. Why don't we do this, Lindsay? Why don't we take a few calls here? Why don't you get Mickey's number? And so if Mickey turns out that she is our winner, we'll just call her back. But I thought that was a very nice story. Scott, you're on CCO.
Hello.
Yes.
My name's... I don't have a cute story or anything that my wife has done that's going to go down in the history books or anybody's going to remember. But she has always been there for 20 years to guide me when I have tough decisions to make and to love me every day. And I know that no matter what advice she gives me, that... it's always in my best interest, and that's
good.
Valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. That's valuable. Thank you, Scott. I'm going to put you on hold. Lanes will get your number, too. If it turns out you are a winner, we'll give you a phone call. 651-989-9226. Barbara is in Minneapolis. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi. Well, after 45 years... he seems to just know how to let me see something differently other than the way I see it, or let me look through his eyes, even though we're total opposites. And after all these years, I realized I keep getting Valentines for my children and now my grandchildren. And I guess this would just be a real surprise that he actually got something.
So have you ever given him something?
I have.
Okay.
All the time when we dated and when we first got married and before we had kids.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. And life starts happening, right?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Thank you, Barbara. We're going to put you on hold also. And we got a couple other people calling in. Sharon is in Brooklyn Park. Go ahead, Sharon.
I am. I'm here to tell you a longtime love story. I met my husband in about 1978 in Osseo, Minnesota. We were both captains of the swim team there. And we
la-dee-da.
Since 1986. And we're still married, surprisingly, to
nice.
Some. he stands in my corner. He stands in my corner. He fights for me. He put me through law school. I've quit my job as an attorney, and now I want to be a caterer or bake cookies. And he's like, go for it. Go out there and do what you want to do. And he is still working himself to death to possibly pay for a couple weddings coming up. We've got a 22-year-old and a 26-year-old daughter. And so you see, this poor man has fought against three women for at least 40 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Stood up to all three of us, and we adore him.
That's,
and he would be so shocked to get something from us for a change, because he's the guy who buys my girl socks for Father's Day, because he says, if I didn't have you, I wouldn't be a father.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a great story. Sharon, we're going to put you on hold for sure. Get your number. Let's do this so we don't get too far behind, because we want to have playing time for playing politics with the Star Tribune. We'll get Sharon's number. And we'll clear a couple more phone lines. We'll take a few more. Again, we're going the optimistic route on the show. We can do that every once in a while. What's the best thing about your significant other? What are they doing? What are they doing maybe the last few months, the last few years, maybe the last 50 years? Whatever it might be, why should your partner get this $50 gift certificate from Sherry's Berries or Pro Flowers? 651-989-9226. News Talk 830 WCCO. I want to announce this. We just have secured this during the break. We had to pay him. Okay, we did have to pay him. It is an exclusive. The Love Doctor is joining us tomorrow on Valentine's Day. Lindsay, congratulations for getting this done. Would you like to share with us any of the details on your negotiations with the Love Doctor? We still can't quite pin down the time. We will probably have that before the end of the show, though. But just how you're able to secure the Love Doctor for us for tomorrow.
I've been booking this for weeks. It's just been, you know, a lot of hard work on my end to lock that in. It's Valentine's Day.
It is.
Go big or go home.
Exactly. You either get it done and you don't get it done better than with the Love Doctor. All right. Again, four more calls, and then we're going to another topic here. We're going to have Playing Politics, Star Tribune editorial board, a chance for you to win a $50 gift certificate from Pro Flowers or Sherry's Berries. What's the best thing about your partner? What great thing can you tell us about your significant other? Roberta, go ahead.
Hi. I've been married 60 years this Saturday, and I've got the most wonderful, caring, supportive husband. And we're still as much in love 60 years later as we were 60 years ago.
Fantastic. That's a great one. Thank you, Roberta. She's definitely a contender. Mandy is in Albertville. Go ahead, Mandy.
I have been married for 8 years to my husband, but 5 years ago, he gave our family the ultimate gift when he donated a kidney to save my cousin's life.
Oh, wow. What a great gesture that was.
Yeah. He's kind of the most amazing man I've ever met.
How's your cousin, by the way?
She is fantastic.
That's great.
Doing wonderful now.
That's a pretty strong testament, I would say, to be willing to do that. Thank you, Mandy. You're on hold also. That's a good story. Who's next here? Mary is in Eagan. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, Chad. I wanted to tell you that I've been married for 46 years to one of the most thoughtful men I've ever met. He never, ever hesitates or forgets to thank me for anything I do. And specifically last summer, we had to move to Rochester so he could have a life-saving procedure done. We lived there for 3 months, finally got to doing well, and he gave me a card thanking me for everything I did to help him through this. And I thought, you know, I should be thanking him for everything he's done for me.
Right. Yeah, that's a great way to judge people, don't you think, Mary, when people are going through some of the toughest times, because it's pretty relatively easy for all us to be kind and nice when life is easy. But when it's tough, that's when you really find out about people, and that's an amazing gesture by your guy. Thank you. Last caller, Marge is in Woodbury. Go ahead, Marge.
Yes, I'd just like to give a shout-out to my husband who has the last 4 or 5 years, he's gone through 6 surgeries with me and the discovery that I have a severe chronic disease. And he just sticks by me. He's the greatest nurse ever after all those surgeries. And something that just happened, we became grandparents. And I'll tell you what, to see him become a grandpa for the first time, it melts my heart. And he's just giddy in love with this little girl. I just think he deserves some praise.
Marge, I'm going to do this. You're a last caller and you're a winner right away because that story is fantastic. Let's give Marge one of the gift certificates, Lindsay. And I think we should go with the first one. Mickey in Minnetonka. Remember the card?
I was going Mandy.
You were going Mandy?
How do you go? How do you? Okay, the card. Yeah. Mandy's husband gave her cousin a kidney.
All right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think that's the way to go then.
We're going with
Mandy.
Marge and Mandy.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, let's just do that. I'm sorry, Mickey. I teased you a little bit. But
you can blame me.
Yeah, Lindsay overruled. Lindsay's right. And if I don't go with Lindsay, she yells at me and she bullies me and I end up in the corner crying. So thank you so much for participating. Really good story. We've laughed a little bit at these stories. We felt like at least one of these stories today, we would kind of tell a sampling of some heartwarming stories. I think it works out well to move from this right into Pro Flowers and tell you how great Pro Flowers are. They're beautiful. They're freshly cut. They're delivered right to you and smiles for everybody involved. Who doesn't like beautiful roses? Then we realized the calendar. Today is February 13th. You need to get this done because Valentine's Day is tomorrow. And I've worked with these folks on the radio in my own life for a long, long time. And every single time the product is delivered, it is, has the seven-day freshness guarantee. And I get the big smile. It's not the fake one. It's not the whole thanks. It's legitimately, these are beautiful roses. Right now, you can get one dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. How do you get this done? Go to proflowers.com, click on the mic, the top right of the page, and enter the code Chad Hartman. Okay, to get this limited time offer. Again, proflowers.com, click the microphone, and enter the code, which is easy. My name, Chad Hartman. DJ Tice, John Rash, Star Tribune editorial board, Chad Hartman here from WCC Radio. Once again, our collaboration, Playing Politics. We got so much this week. Let's get to the latest here as we record this on Wednesday. Representative Ilhan Omar has responded to the president. All this goes back to the controversy which ensued over the weekend, where I called her out like many people did. I know the editorial board also has on what to me was an anti-Semitic comment. Some other comments by her. She eventually came up with an apology. I thought parts of the apology, I want to get John and DJ to comment on that too, was a little lacking for me when she said, basically, I had no idea on this one. I'm still learning. I'm sorry. As an individual who has faced the Muslim tropes and the Muslim stereotypes that she has, to act like she had never heard of a stereotype tied to Jewish citizens of our, of this country or Jews abroad, I didn't accept that myself. The president, who in my view shouldn't be lecturing anybody about belittling or bullying or comments insulting races and religions, called for her to resign. So Representative Omar today says, hi, at Real Donald Trump. You have trafficked in hate your whole life against Jews, Muslims, indigenous. I don't know what's happening. Immigrants, black people, more. I have learned from people impacted by my words. When will you? All right. On the whole thing, DJ, where do you want to jump in?
Well, I find myself as the discussion has developed with somewhat mixed feelings on this. I mean, clearly Representative Omar has got to learn how to do business in Washington. Mm-hmm. And how to be effective there. You know, there are many different views of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and America's relationship with Israel.
And it's fair to have a debate on that, too.
Absolutely. Perfectly fine. But, you know, she hasn't been elected to Congress to represent the Gaza Strip. She's been elected to represent the 5th District of Minnesota, and people have a variety of views on these issues. And if she is going to be effective in that representation, you know, she needs to learn, you know, where the landmines are, so to speak, in Washington. And she certainly has not shown that she does understand that. So let's hope she's learning some of that. All that said, I must say I'm getting more and more concerned about our sort of politics by taboo, you know, in which we don't discuss the substance of issues. We just say, oh, you're anti-Semitic, oh, you're Islamophobic, you're sexist, you're racist, you're whatever, some kind of ism. And I actually saw a piece come into the paper today saying that, you know, charges of anti-Semitism against Omar are just Islamophobia. So now we've got sort of the dueling taboos.
The backlash, right?
I mean, what what's worse? Who's, you know, more anti-Semitic, Islamophobic? And I'm sure there's a gendered stuff in there and all kinds of. And I just get a little weary of it.
Yep.
I do think I hear people talk about Congress being bought and paid for, you know, by the NRA, unions, by corporations, all the rest. I hear it every day. And people don't get called out in this way. But I guess if you say that of the Israeli lobby, suddenly, yep. you know, you stepped on a taboo. She's got to learn.
But is some of that because of her previous tweets in this area?
Of course. Right. And that's part of the trouble. She hasn't learned that, you know, she has some fences to mend and you know, some credibility to build. She needs to work on all of that. But having said that, I do think some of the sort of instantaneous labeling of certain kinds of debate is really stifling any kind of meaningful discussion of issues in the country.
John?
I concur with Doug in many ways in that there are really serious and serial issues that this country needs to address from a very fundamental perspective, and lawmakers have a responsibility and a privilege to do so. And so the need to talk about our relationship with our forever friend and ally Israel and its relationship with its Gazan and West Bank neighbors is something that's not only important but imperative. But it's the method in which she, and in a broader sense, so many in the public eye, go about this that becomes so troublesome. So instead of coming to Congress and trying to learn and trying to partner with people across the aisle and people within her party who might share a different perspective, hold some hearings, maybe have a fact-finding mission, really see the conditions that are happening in the Gaza Strip and elsewhere, as well as some of the very legitimate Israeli security concerns, and to contend with those, it's done via Twitter. And that is the antithesis of serious lawmaking and got her in serious trouble in terms of how she went about this entire process. And so, you know, I think that she and so many, all the way up to the commander-in-chief, would be so much better served if they stayed off of social media and engaged in social dialogue with their colleagues and with the American people about these issues.
But as you know, and as both of you know, that's not going to happen, right? Because people look at the power of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez right now, right? She is the number one Democrat right now. Doug, I'll go to you here.
Yeah.
And shaping the agenda. She's not the most powerful, but she is the one who's causing the greatest reaction. And a lot of that is driven by her skills with social media. Yeah. The president is not the president without social media. So they might feel like, listen, we might step into it occasionally. We might hurt ourselves with some others, but with our base, whether it's Representative Omar, President Trump, and others, there seemingly aren't the implications of missing out on what John is saying, the broader, deeper conversation where actual change can take place.
Yeah, you do seem to be able to get away with quite a lot. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has put out the Green New Deal FAQ, which they've since explained was something. If it was fake or it was a mistake or it was preliminary or something. But it was
well. I mean, what they put out there deserves scorn. I mean, people are going to get paid even if they don't want to work.
One would like to believe that it's fake, but it certainly reflects something. And there's a lot of goofy stuff in there.
I think. I mean, listen. If it wasn't fake, and to me, I'm not sure it was fake. I think they escaped from criticism, and I think the criticism would have been very just for more people.
It's exactly what I'm saying. Is you can put this stuff out there. You can charm the people who are charmed by it.
Yeah,
and then just deny it.
Right,
that it was real, and move on. Move on to the next tweet storm.
Right.
Omar has. I haven't looked lately, but it's more than 500,000 followers.
Yeah,
on
it's an amazing story.
Twitter. So it's pretty hard to resist, that kind of megaphone.
And pertinent to the point, both of you gentlemen are talking about right now. She may indeed have that megaphone and that popularity, but in terms of power, she is not among the very few who are deciding the deal that President Trump grudgingly seems to be accepting regarding the border wall and some of the funding that led to a partial government shutdown. And those Democrats who have looked towards AOC and said, I want to get on board without knowing all the details, or if those FAQs, if those frequently asked questions are actually real or not, and having delved deeply, as we speak right now, the cable news networks are flashing that Senate Majority Leader McConnell is going to hold a vote on this because he wants to have every senator to have the opportunity to go on the record.
Isn't
about
it funny?
This.
Isn't so, it funny that he's doing
to
it
vote
that
on
way.
Abolishing air travel
exactly.
in North America.
And to right. basically look and put, whether retrofitting or building anew every building. But it's kind of funny just picking up on that, John. How many bills are there out there? In this case, Mitch McConnell, but it's happened with other majority leaders. Let's be very clear about that. Where it looks like the votes might be there, but it doesn't work for the party. Clearly, there's no chance the votes are in the Senate for this, but they want to get all the 2020 candidates on the record. And so they can say, these folks are so out of the mainstream. Do you really want to consider them to lead our country?
We can think just about issues that we've talked about here on Playing Politics in terms of protecting the Mueller investigation. They could probably muster a Senate majority to be able to guarantee that that would happen. Senator McConnell has not allowed that vote.
Yep.
In terms of a broader immigration deal, there are rational Republicans and Democrats who not only can but have sat in the room and figured out a way that they think that they can make this work over a period of a number of years. That has not come to a vote either. And so, you know, I think that you're very right that it turns in both directions. And here Senator McConnell wants to get not only every senator, but in particular presidential prospects mm-hmm. from the United States Senate who have announced their candidacy, and he wants to get them on the record whether they are on board with the Green New Deal.
This is why it's great to be the majority leader, because you do get to decide what right. comes to the floor.
Yeah.
And sure, I mean, every one of those presidential hopefuls seeking the nomination where the party's, you know, most militant base
yep.
is very powerful, you can hardly vote against this thing. Maybe they'll have to figure out how to abstain or something.
Yeah.
On the other hand, whatever they do other than denouncing it is going to come back to haunt whoever gets that nomination later on, because
yeah.
the Republicans are going to remind people that, you know, they voted to abolish cows and this kind of thing.
I've always thought cows were the major problem in this country. Once we get rid of them, we'll resolve
Reagan,
everything.
I think, explained that.
Yes, he did. Well, so Senator Klobuchar. Well, obviously, he's in the news, right, for the announcement and the stories and the interviews. She was a part of a Fox interview last night, John, and it was, well, this is aspirational. And when we get down to actually the practicality of voting on it, we might have to look at the details. Again, that's where Senator Klobuchar is trying to cleave out her spot in all this, that, yup, in the truest purpose, I am with all of you. But I also get practical, realistic politics. But just picking up on what Doug said, I don't know how that's going to play with the Democrats now in 2019 and 2020, because right now it is just a race to the left outside a couple people, and she's one not exactly running from the left, but certainly not embracing all their ideas.
Well, indeed, you're quite right. And the activists favor, well, activism at this point, and they the energy is towards the left portion of the party. And that's even without Senator Sanders jumping into the race and,
yep.
you know, trying to reprise the remarkable run that he had in 2016. She, as you mentioned, is trying to carve out that sensible centrist lane. That might not work with the party's stalwarts, but I would argue that with everyday Americans, that's more how they would perceive themselves. And when pollsters ask them to self-identify, they're much more centrist in these issues. And so she's trying to thread the needle in terms of saying, not only do I acknowledge, but I'm quite concerned about climate change and some of these other issues, but we have to perhaps take a more pragmatic approach to trying to solve them. So what will be interesting is to see Senators Harris and Gillibrand and others who seemingly have jumped on this quite early, and the whole issue of Medicare for all. And there's
mm-hmm.
many differences of gradation, of course, between being quite concerned that every American has some kind of health insurance coverage, trying to shore up the Affordable Care Act, and being for Medicare for all.
Yep.
They're going to try and put them on the record for that as well.
You know, I think there's a question starting to surface whether AOC and, you know, the movement that she spearheads are kind of leading the Democrats, you know, down the rabbit hole that Donald Trump led the GOP, where you can't afford to offend these highly energized
yes.
voters who are behind this person, but you don't really want to go where they're taking the party. And the Republicans did not figure it out,
mm-mm.
and I'm not at all sure that the Democrats will either.
I think that's a great point. So that brings me, Doug, to Howard Schultz, right? Howard Schultz was given another platform by CNN,
And he spoke out, and he was pretty critical. Some of these ideas, he talked about the green, you know, the Green Deal, and said, "What are we going to have? 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 trillion? Where is it going to stop?" Clearly, that many people within the Democratic Party are mad at him because they feel like he'll be the spoiler. He's going to face a lot of questions about Starbucks. He faced it last night too about will he give up all his shares? But if you're Schultz, don't you want to see more of this right now? Don't you want to see – he's got to be thinking, give Ocasio-Cortez and give the others who were elected or have been in Congress for a while and are taking the party further left. If I'm Howard Schultz, who, by the way, is a lifelong Democrat but is trying to run as the center middle, I think he's saying keep interviewing him. Keep raising their platform to give him a greater chance.
Well, I think that's probably right. He doesn't want to emphasize that everybody's in the middle. He wants to be the middle.
Yeah.
In contrast to the fringe dominated major parties, and you know he's got a shot at that. I don't know that he has much of a shot of becoming president, but presumably he wants to, you know, get a more sensible approach to issues out there. That's part of his motive, and no doubt it's fun to get all this attention and to become an oracle of this kind. And I think the way things are lining up, he will have that opportunity if he wants it.
John, before you jump in, I'll just add also that Mike Bloomberg's people in the last 24 hours have said, well, we're in for $500 million. That's just our opening bid, by the way. And either that's going to be for him at the start or for Democrats. And did you see the quotes? It's like, well, look at how much Mike spent in his last election to be once again the mayor of New York. That was $100 million. And talked about this, just like hinting that he could be in for billions and billions in his candidacy.
I was just going to jump in with that very point. The person that perhaps benefits the most from what Howard Schultz is doing is Michael Bloomberg for two specific reasons. He has indicated that while he considered an independent bid in 2016, he thought that that would guarantee what eventually did happen, which was the election of President Donald Trump. And so he declined to do that and said if he runs, he's going to run as a Democrat in the whole Democratic caucus and primary system, and that he also has a governing track record that is, by any observation, significantly successful in New York.
Yep.
Things went very, very well mm-hmm. while he was mayor of that city. And so, you know, I think that as he looks at this and as he looks at the lane that Howard Schultz is trying to carve out, he can come in without Democrats being upset with him because he's running within their system.
Right.
And not saying, I'm not just another wealthy business person like President Trump, like Howard Schultz, who's dabbling into politics here. I've actually run for something and run it well. And so that'll be a candidacy to watch, especially with those deep pockets that you reference.
Well, I think it's true. There's a lot of running room down the middle. That is clear. And you know, Klobuchar is trying for that lane, but
Biden,
course,
if he jumps in, would be a part of that lane.
Of course, he would. You know, but Bloomberg has got something to bring to the party, as John suggests, including simply a name that is a household word, and that's something that Amy will have to build over a long period of time.
John, we have some reports as we talk right now saying that the president will sign the compromise bill on immigration. Again, as we talk right now, Sarah Sanders is kind of going back to Nancy Pelosi and tweaking her on her comments about Obamacare and saying we're going to be different. We're going to read the bill first before we sign on board. It does seem like most people expect the president to sign this, but then look at other large sums of money available to him and whether he can do it on his own, whether he can do it within a national emergency, that's how he's going to try to do both. He's going to say no shutdown, but by the way, my base, don't worry. I'm going to give you even more than $5.7 billion. How is this going to play out?
With his base, it may play okay depending on where he takes the money from, meaning I think that the average American, if you explain that he's going to take them from disaster relief funds from Puerto Rico or wildfires in California, they are going to overwhelmingly disapprove of that. Among his base, that may not be as big a concern as they see the southern border at this point. But I think that politically it's important to note that, you know, his base – by all poll results since he's taken the oath of office, has not expanded. It's contracted, and it wasn't a majority last time.
Yep.
In fact, he, as we all well know, lost the popular vote from that perspective. So, you know, it may get some of his base off his back, and including two key constituents, Sean Hannity you know, and Ann Coulter and some of the conservative
commentary. The coal presidents, you're talking about?
Yes, who have really maybe led him into this blind alley that he ended up in there, but it won't necessarily expand his level of popular support.
My guess is that he needs to politically and will, you know, continue to agitate on this issue one way or another. I doubt, though, that he would take some of those more controversial measures and want to, you know, continue to have them in front and center in the news for a real long time. I simply think simply saying that he's considering these things and mm-hmm. look at all these things probably satisfies his base. Meanwhile, you know, the Democrats said they'd never give him any kind of well, no way, no how.
Yeah, not a dollar, Nancy Pelosi.
And they are giving him one. And I think that for him is a pretty big victory.
The last thing I'd say, though, and he at one point had a deal for John for $25 billion with the Dreamers. Then it's moved down and down and down. If you're the art of the deal guy, to then get $1.375 billion from $25 billion, that doesn't seem like the art of the deal to me.
And you mentioned the Dreamers. You also have people under temporary protected status.
Yep.
Their status of all these individuals who have woven themselves so successfully into the mosaic of America remains unresolved. This is still going to be a very significant issue that the leaders of this country, regardless of party and partisan perspective, are going to have to deal with it.
You know, I'll just momentarily be the true cynic on this. I don't think Trump ever really cared about the wall. For that matter, I don't think the Democrats really care that much about the wall. This has been about the politics and about the symbolism of it. And in that sense, both of them win a little, lose a little,
yep.
which is the way it usually goes. But the country's been, you know, put through the ringer for, and in substantive terms, nothing.
Promises made, promises kept. That's all about 2020. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great stuff from John Rash and DJ Tice, this partnership between WCCO Radio and the Star Tribune. We're coming back next hour. Jason DeRussia is going to join us at 2:10. Don't forget, Linda's construction time check is 1:56. Time to lower your energy bills with free home energy audits.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.